Episode 534, April 12th, 2021.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
I felt bad, Joe, because I knew I had to do this DC Improv Comedy Kumite show tonight. Came in second, by the way.
Congrats.
Yeah, I got destroyed in the finals. Shout out Denise Taylor, 74-26%. Embarrassing effort on my part.
That is bad. I know. Denise has done the murder mystery.
Yeah, Denise is very funny, and I could tell that I wasn't, that my second set wasn't feeling like it was going that well. But sometimes I feel like it's going great, and I lose. So I thought maybe this would be the opposite. But no, my gut feeling was correct.
I've never seen her stand up, but I've her on Twitter. I think she's really good.
No, she's definitely great on Twitter. So, but that was going to put me here late, and also put me here. I couldn't really pin down when, because if I lose in the first round, I can leave, and then if I get to the finals, then I'm going to be there longer. But the point of all this is, I felt bad for you having to explain this to Gramps.
God, it was a nightmare. So I. Just some brief Graham stuff. We went to dinner at 5. Of course, he came in at 3 o'clock when I was on the phone with my boss to knock on my door to ask me what I was doing for dinner, which makes me fucking crazy, but okay. I'm like, listen. And then, of course, he's like, what are we doing? And I'm just like, you're an adult. You tell me what we're doing. You know what I mean? I mean, it never stops. Like, I'm completely, what do you call it, where I'm responsible for all his activities?
Yes.
Like, and I'm like, no, Dad. And he literally was putting his foot in the ground. He was not. I go, then I'll just eat something here. You come up with something or I won't go. And finally he goes, all right, well, let's go to Hella's. And I go, oh, done.
Yes.
So he actually thought, but I forced him to do that.
Was there anything that he would have suggested that you would have said no
I would have said yes to everything. Right. He literally said, let's go eat in the back. I would have done it. But I can't be his, event planner. That's right. Getting on my nerves, right? So I'm like, hey, give me something, I'll do it. So he finally, I twisted his arm, and he finally did it, and then we go to Hella's. Now, we left at 5 to go eat.
Right, plenty of time.
You usually get here around 7 o'clock. By the way, it doesn't matter, you can get here at 7:25. We like to go through what we're going to talk about, but we'll be fine, right? So, but I knew when we got there at 5:21 that we had an hour and 39 minutes to get back just to submit to, so you, we would be there when you walked through the door.
And this place is like 4 miles away.
It's 4 miles away.
Yeah.
It's four, good call. It's 4 miles away. The entire meal that he's not eating, he's turned around.
What, for the, to get the check, or is he just?
That's what part of it.
Okay.
Where's the waitress?
Right.
Why is she taking an order?
Quickly.
Why is she taking our drink order? Why did my soup come before my drink? Where's my drink? And I'm like, Dad, can you just try to just enjoy it yourself?
Did you say that to him?
Of course I said that to him. It's so miserable. It's like, it's just such a stressful existence to, and all he cares about is getting where he's going and then immediately leaving. And it literally, there's really nothing for him to, there's no appointment.
This is the point in his life where he should care the least, right?
You know what? Yes. You know, and you see bumper stickers, retirement, nothing nothing to do and all day to do. Everybody's having such a good time.
Yeah.
You know? But I was over by the computer, and I knew you were going to be late, and I'm like, let me spend the least amount of time possible dealing with that with Gramps. And as soon as he walked over to look out the window, because it was 6:55 and he was going to go stare out the window till you got there
and get the Crown Royal out the glasses.
That's when I had to let him know that the show was going to be late. And of course, then that became stressful because Robbie said, let's start at 8, which I don't love. We should start when you get here, right? Because then, and then I'm gonna take a little shot at Robbie. With all the things I'm doing here, when Robbie says to me, I don't want to go till 9, that shit fucking pisses me off, okay? If he knew what I do during the day that he should be participating, he wouldn't then say I can't be inconvenienced at all by what goes on in your... Right. Sorry, Robbie. I don't love that.
But I was fine with just walking in the door and getting on the air.
That's fine, right? But I mean, already going fucking nuts, right? So I don't know. I'm not one of these people that usually says, here's how I'm the victim, but I am the fucking victim. I really am.
Well, this is gonna
and
be
I don't
a fun
want
show.
Anybody coming to me explaining to me how they're being put out. I can't hear that mm-hmm. right now. Maybe I'm a little bitter and maybe I'm a little resentful, but I've been here for 6 fucking months, okay?
Wow.
So yeah, I'm not at my
I was going to take some shots at you tonight. Now I probably won't.
Nah, you can. I'll save that for next week. Love. I'm not in my best place right
well,
now.
I'll save
for
it
sure.
for next
I'm
week.
Not in my best place, but I don't know how to stop that. And I also, but I know he doesn't enjoy that. He doesn't enjoy not being comfortable where he is, but I can't get him to stop turning around.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's just what we do. You know what I mean? I guess I sit there and it's anxious and we're in a hurry and we hop in the car and we rush home and, you know, then we're here. And he came
but then he had Mac texting him about when the show
God,
started.
God, you're going to fire me up even more, right? Because
is Mac in chat?
Yes, Mac's in chat. So now the show, now we have an entire conversation with my dad about when the show is going to start. We have an entire conversation mm-hmm. about it. Robbie put on Twitter, I assume on Facebook too, that we're starting at 8. But I wouldn't mind starting earlier if that's possible. You know, I'm sure chat will understand. Maybe they missed this, me complaining about this. Maybe they'll understand, but maybe we can start. But probably at 8. Next thing you know, my dad accepted that because we let him know, we'll let you know when we're starting, which
right.
by the way, we didn't, I guess, but I'm sure he's hearing this,
whoops,
but he's in
sorry.
Chat. Right. So then, but Mac then texts Gramps, say, when's the show starting? So now my dad has a whole new concern because he's cause like, okay, well, I'll just sit here in mystery, not knowing, the show, but I can't have Mac not know. I can't have Mac not know
Mac,
when the show
Mac's
starts.
Kids are waiting to have him help him with the homework, and he's trying to figure out when he can listen to the Robin Joe show.
So my dad is standing. Now, of course, you know, that's also my bedroom. My dad is standing outside my bedroom door. You're also standing outside my bedroom door. Katie's in our bedroom. I'm in the studio. We're all standing in this area. And my dad's like, what do you want me to tell Mac? I go, well, Dad, you know what I know. You have all the information I have. You tell him exactly what the... He goes, well, what do you want me to tell him? I'm like, why am I more... You're as responsible as I am for
all
getting
right.
this information
deep
to
breath,
him.
Joe. Deep
breath, Joe.
Seriously. How's the chat? Are they mad at you?
I'm sure they are, but God, it's just... Oh, my God, this is crazy.
Robbie, did you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to come at you, man. You're fine.
It's okay, and I hope it. I didn't want it to come across as me complaining or bitching. I just was saying what my preference was.
I know, so, I know your preference. I know your preference, and it's not. By the way, you can give your preference. I'm not that person. I don't care what I'm doing. You don't have to act a certain way around me. So sorry. Yes, right, do whatever you got to do.
We're each in our prisons, and I've. Killing myself at my new job working 12 hours.
I know. I know you are. And you know what? Honestly, Robbie, I never want to be bitter about what roles people are playing. So I'm not. Here's where I am. You can't do what I'm doing. And I'm sure you would if you could, but you're not. And there's nothing. I will say, I even said this on
night. I think
I
would take it a little bit more in stride than you would, but I know that's easy.
I don't know that you could, Robbie.
That's easy to say.
Yeah, because I've been here for 6 months. And, you know, I mean, my dad, him and it's tough because I love him. But he's not. If I say something, he doesn't give a fuck. He does not. Whatever I have to say to him, he's not interested in, and it's making me absolutely nuts. Now, Mac's right because Mac always gives me shit because I can be unkind, right? Mm-hmm. And I gotta stop doing that because I'm getting bitter. Obviously I sound that way? Because you know, he doesn't take anything in that might be a bothering me or concern of mine. He doesn't. He can't. I don't know if he can't or won't or whatever. But, you know, all the things that happen, the suggestions that I make, him seeing his relatives, him getting certain doctor's appointments, him getting this, him getting that, I'm doing all of it. Seriously, every single thing that that he enters into that's new or helping him progress to whatever next is me forcing it on him. And, you know, and it's not, I don't like that. Like, just, I'm not your parent, but if you're going to treat me like your parent, you can't even eat without me, or you don't know where to eat. God, one more thing and then one more thing and then I'll be done.
This is starting to sound like the smoke break with Tom Nutty.
God, I know. God, you're right. One more thing. So, see this Easter basket over here?
I do see it.
Okay. There were Fritos in there.
Oh, very
Katie's
festive.
Mom gave us Fritos. My dad loves Fritos.
Who doesn't?
So I picked the two bags out of there and I gave them to my dad. This is for you. And he said, can I eat them now? See, that's what I'm talking about. And I just go, God, you know. Anyway.
You literally said he could do heroin, and you're like, okay with it.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Take up a drug addiction.
Well, it is interesting you said that because my dad, you know, he's like, oh, I got to drink less. I'm afraid I'm going to turn into an alcoholic. And I think my dad thinks I'm trying to kill him. But I'm like, no, because I don't know why it's so important for me that he enjoys his life, but maybe it's because the only thing he seems to get enjoyment out of is being with me. And I don't want to be responsible for his happiness.
That sounds like hell.
Well, that's where I am, right?
No, I get it's a responsibility.
You know, and we went out this weekend and we came back and my dad goes, oh, I missed you guys. And I'm like, I missed you too, Dad, but it's not my fault. You never left your chair. You have to, you know, you have to own something, you know. The reason he's going to church is because I had to trick him. He knows this now. I had to call somebody to trick him into going to church. You know, everything that he is now doing as an activity, most of the stuff he tried to do is remove responsibility from himself, right? But now he has some things to do because I've called his brothers and sisters. I've called people from the church. I've called my brothers and sisters and I've said, hey, you need to do this, you need that. Robin came over today. Those guys are trying to at least do some things that I'm asking them to do, but he's not really participating, and it's really, he knows all it, right, too. He knows it. I know, dude, I know. I know. I'm just, he knows, but
does
it's making
Chad,
me crazy.
Chad, have anything to add?
Oh, my God, they're going crazy.
That's what I thought.
Go ahead, Robbie. Give me some of the stuff.
Well, 97 Week Itch said, Katie and Joe murder suicide question.
Well, I said, Benchwarmer
seems to be sympathetic.
Thank you, Benchwarmer. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I mentioned Tom Nutty.
Wait, Max says, Joe regifting Fritos to the man providing him Fritos.
Now, Mac always gives me some perspective, man, and Mac and I go, but I do love Mac, and I also really love how kind he is to my dad.
He's a wonderful person.
But, you know, it's, yeah, he's the one. You know what? I'll say one more thing.
Of course you will.
No, sorry, dude. My wife's grandmother's husband. It's her grandfather, but he's really a step-grandfather.
Okay.
His name is Lee, and he's a great guy. He's actually older than my dad, and this guy's sharp as a tack, right? And honestly, I was like, hey, man, you know what? What I really want from my... Because I'm talking about it. What I really want from my father is I want friendships. I wish he would go and pursue those. But you really have to kind of... You have to be proactive, which he's... Everything that he does is some method to lessen his any burden whatsoever.
Right.
And he said, you know what? I don't know anybody, and I didn't know where he was going, but then when he went, it had hurt. He goes, I don't know anybody who was in your situation that after it was over said, I wish I was kinder.
Right.
So I got to think about that, right?
Because
I love my dad, and he is making me fucking crazy for sure. And I'm, you know, there's a lot of stress involved in him not participating in his life, but I need to be kinder in spite of all that because he's who he is. He's not changing and he doesn't really give a shit what I have to say. So I got to think about that.
I hope the people listening understand that maybe this will help you be kinder by you getting it out of your system in this medium as opposed to yelling at your father in the kitchen.
It's weird you say that because I know that maybe people also get sick of hearing me do, but I have no outlet other than to go right to my father and start, which by the way, he knows him and I've had, we've had some knockdown dragouts.
Yeah.
When I say that, it's really me. You know, and you're right. So instead of that, I have this where I can say, God, somebody just listen to me. You know what I mean? With what's going on. I don't think my dad even is aware of it, even though he sees me going crazy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand that at my age, 52, living in a room could be something that makes me not feel great about myself. You know what I mean? Now, granted, we're aggressively building a house as quickly as we possibly can, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to spend a year in a room. at the age
Joe,
of 50.
Maybe you need to pick up a hammer and go out there and help them build the house.
I would, but there's no permits yet. Believe me, I would do whatever was necessary.
It's funny because I mentioned Denise Taylor. She has a joke that she tells about how she had to move back in with her parents, and it's kind of like when you see like a woman on the news who lifted a car up to save her baby.
Yeah.
You don't know you have the strength until you get in that situation, and you have to just dig deep. It's down there.
Well, so, I've been lifting cars for 6 months.
Exactly,
so.
And you're struggling. Yeah. So I did the Tom Nutty podcast, the one.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that. It was just like this.
Well, I get on. It was just him, and I go, well, how long? He goes, well, Joe went on for like an hour and a half. But I usually like to do like 30 to 40 minutes. And I'm like, sweet, that's what we'll do. And it was fun. It went well. It's I sort of made fun of you. Like you couldn't get to the end of a story. But then it was interesting. When I was starting off, I started telling some story, and I realized I was getting off track, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm having a Joe moment. I have to.
Well, you were also probably stone cold sober.
I was stone cold sober.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good times with you, Tom. Also, I just did the Quality Time podcast. I don't know when either of these come out, but with Jeremy Woodworth, Eric Woodworth, and Ashley Pontius at Eric's house.
Oh, you went there physically?
I went there.
Oh, hell yeah. Was Ashley Pontius there, too?
Yes. Did you know this is the first time that Ashley and Jeremy met in person?
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, wow. I bet she was thrilled. Oh, we got Jeremy in chat right now. Yeah.
Jeremy was quite funny. We did the movie The Burbs, which is, I love that movie. Ashley Pontius, her favorite movie of all time.
Well, what?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
It's funny because when we were talking about great Tom Hanks movies, which we've done several times.
Yes.
I don't know why, but we've done it several times. You always mention The Burbs, which is clearly not his top 30, but...
I know, but I make the joke that it's Carrie Fisher and Tom Hanks' best movie, but Corey Feldman's fifth best movie.
Yeah, Corey Feldman did have a pretty good career. He had The Lost Boys.
Stand By Me. That's probably his best movie.
He did have Stand By Me.
Gremlins, Goonies.
How about License to Drive?
License to Drive. No, he had a really good run.
Yeah, and then he also had a movie where he did like a Michael Jackson impersonation. I'm not kidding. I believe it's called Dream a Little Dream.
Yes.
I think it was one of those where some old guy told him how to be cool. I think it's George Burns. Am I right about this, Robbie? I think it's called Dream a Little Dream.
I think you're right.
It vaguely rings a bell.
He also was bringing Michael Jackson's monkey. Is it Bubbles? Is that the monkey's name?
You know it's Bubbles.
To the to the set, to his trailer while shooting The Burbs. Eric had a lot of knowledge. He also was in a couple of Friday the 13th. So
here's who's in Jason Robards. I said George Burns, but it wasn't.
Right.
And by the way, take a look at Corey Feldman in this movie.
Yeah, he's looking.
He literally is dressed up like Michael Jackson.
Not cool.
Let me see. Who's this? Is that the other Corey? Am I right about that? Here's who. Yeah, it is. It's the two Coreys. Harry Dean Stanton, the great Harry Dean Stanton's in it. Jason Robards is in it.
What's the score?
Both of those.
Oh, it's probably shit. Let's see what the score is.
5.9 right there. Look like right
well,
there.
Well, yeah, but that's I go Rotten Tomatoes. You know
you
that.
Don't like IMDb. They're usually almost
I
the same.
Don't, I don't know how to read IMDb. That's the problem.
You don't
problem.
Know how to read 5.8 out of a 10? It's 58%.
Well, sorry, here we go. Okay. We got, I don't know, it only gives us IMDb. Damn it. All right, here we go. Sorry. Dream a Little Dream.
All right, it's very important
rotten,
for you to get the Rotten
Yeah,
tomatoes.
Right. Another movie.
It's
going to
be in between 53 and 57.
This is even older than the shit I've already been talking about. Dream a Little Dream on Rotten Tomatoes is...
Drum roll.
0%.
What?
That's okay. Correct. 0%.
That's why they didn't have it on Google. They didn't want.
Nobody's reviewed it. Nobody's seen it.
That's not true. It has 10 reviews, all poor.
Oh, for 10.
Dream wow. a little dream.
All right. Well, I want to catch up, people.
There's your show title, Dream a Little Dream.
All right, there you go. It's something that we had. We haven't talked about this on the main show, but if you're a patron, we talked about this on that for quite a bit of time about you inviting me to the condo in OC year after year and me always saying no.
Yes.
And then...
That was bonus show.
But then...
We kind of get to the bottom of it. I really like where we went in the bonus show.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
And then come Friday morning, you were on 98 Rock. You called me.
Yeah.
So I literally woke up to answering the phone and I'm live on the
I was glad you answered it because it was 8:45 and I said to Scott Reardon,
right.
I was filling in for Justin, so it was me and Scott Reardon, and he said to me, he goes, I don't have anything for 8:45. Now, usually I take whatever is on the show and I just relive it on 98 Rock, right?
Right.
Because usually there's a little bit of overlap, but I also think people appreciate, oh, I already know this story because I'm a Rob and Joe fan. So
yes.
I always think it works regardless. But that's what I came up with. Because I'd already told the story about lying to Katie, and now I have a new story, which I'm going to tell later today. But that was, you know, I always have a brand new story or whatever from, that existed that week, and that was it. So we kind of had to redo what we already did.
And
you sounded good. Sorry, I know I'm interrupting you. Because we already had the conversation, but I thought we did a great job acting like we had never had it before.
I think, and maybe just instinctively, I felt like I knew what to do. Because I'm literally waking up.
Right.
And then I'm on the, and then.
What you do. And you're going to be like, we already talked about this.
Right. And it sounded, I felt like it sounded really good. And then I tweeted about it and it got a lot of, impressions and people commenting.
Because people heard it and they're like, oh yeah, that was, people like real moments.
Right.
They do. Even when we just admitted that it really wasn't.
But it was still a real conversation. And we actually, I think we touched into some newer parts. And Scott was doing a good job of asking questions and going back and forth and sort of taking both sides.
Yeah.
And then Josh was chiming in with some fun. So it was a really good break.
It was.
Now, and I bring this up for this reason. Because my first excuse why to never commit to these things is I want to see if I have a gig. Now, this is, what's the date? May 14, 16? Is that it?
Is that something like that.
So I got booked to feature for Steve Byrne at the DC Improv April 29th to May 1st. They then told me that Steve was bringing his own feature while UMC. I'm like, you know what? Sure, I'm glad to be back. And I'm a little upset because that's the NFL draft, and I obsess over that.
Right.
And usually, like last year I could watch it, but that wasn't a good year for the Redskins in terms of drafting.
You mean the Washington football team?
Football team. They're picking second. They knew they were going to take Chase Young. It wasn't any drama. There was no second round pick. It wasn't.
I thought it was the best pick in the first round, including number one.
It was, but there was no drama. It wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe
it
fell to
them. You knew it was happening.
Right. So anyway, I don't have a gig for May 14 to 16. And then today happens.
Oh, you got a gig?
Antoine messaged me. He says, hey, Steve actually is bringing the whole show. I'll try to find another date for you.
Okay.
And he says, how about May 13 to 15?
Well, you should have taken it.
All right. Well, you say that. Do you? Because we've put a lot into this. Now, what we've talked about on the air is one-tenth of what it's gone back and forth in our text message.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
There's been a lot into this.
But the people on the text message, they aren't aware of. They would have had to have listened to the bonus show to know that you said, I'm coming.
True. But I also said I was coming on 98 Rock, too.
Yes, right. They would have had to have heard that, too. I'm not sure that they did. Maybe Vegas,
well,
but that's it.
Robbie, what do you think I said yes or no to this gig?
I think you said yes.
What does the chat think?
Well, the chat's going to be delayed, so...
You think I said yes, Joe?
Well, I mean, you're asking, the way you're asking is, but I would have just assumed that you would not turn down, it's a feature spot?
Yes.
I wouldn't begrudge you to have taken that. I guess I hope that you did, right? But if you didn't, then awesome, we're going to have a great time. But maybe you'll be bitter because...
Well, now I'm pissed because I said no.
You said no?
I thought after all we talked about...
We had to do
it. You really sold me on how important this is to you.
You thought...
And then we love each
friendship
other. And we've put all this time...
Right.
Plus the story arc of talking about this on the Boner Show.
Yeah.
And then where we're going to relive this when we talk about it on the main show.
Yeah.
We've invested a lot into this.
Did he give you another date?
He said he will. I said it's a tough one for me because I am available that week, but I have this Ocean City fun weekend. So do you have anything in June? He says, I'll let you know. He's apologizing to me. Like they love me. So it's not
Of course. Well, what I would
Joe's
say
just
that,
an idiot.
What I would say then is
I thought I was going to get all this credit for turning this down.
Of course you get credit for turning it down, but now you've actually put yourself in a position where I'm the guilty party now. You know, you were the villain. Now I'm the villain. I'm preventing you from
this is even better
for
me.
That's right, exactly.
This is a great turn of
events.
So
now you've turned down a gig, a paying gig, so you can now come to your I feel guilty, and you're probably still going to get a gig to make up for the gig that you lost.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, look, I'll get a gig. It'll just be a month later. So it's not like it's...
Yeah, no, listen.
My calendar's open in June, too.
Right, it's not like there's a bunch of clubs, yeah.
Robbie, do you think I did the right thing? Because I feel like we've invested a lot in this. And by the way, I'm also dreading, I thought about this, I am dreading having to redo this conversation in a year.
You mean not going? Well, that,
we're
not
invited again. We're going to have to go over it all again.
Well, right.
It'll just be that times two.
What you could say is, God, I wish it wasn't as great as you said it was going to be.
But if I say no and I take the gig, if I don't go and I go to the gig instead, a year from now, you're inviting me again.
Yes.
We're starting this all over again.
But I will tell you this. If you're going, right, obviously. So.
Unless I get a really good gig.
Right.
I get
well,
a really
that's better good, than the DC Improv.
Well,
that's about as good
I'm
as
in that
get.
Club. If it's a club I'm not in or something. That
right.
It,
oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say.
Or if it's just a high pay.
You go.
Corporate thing or something.
You win $500, which that's not out of the realm of possibility
sure.
at this, right? Based on, you know, who's there, what, how much
right.
money they're going to bring, how many people are going to reap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they'll probably be $5,000-$6,000 flying around in this weekend.
Sure.
Right. So, yeah, maybe that's an exaggeration. 10 people.
Whatever.
It's close. There's
money to be won.
You could win $1,000.
I could also lose $1,000.
Well, we'll get there. So, if you win $500, there's at least two great stories we come home with, right? We eat great food. We go to Liquid Assets. I won't really have to sell you next year. You're gonna be like, oh, that was awesome. But if you get stuck for $400, you know
plus
what, I mean?
What I lost on the gig.
Plus what you lost on the gig. You get in a fight with Tim. You know what I mean?
We may never be friends again.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot at stake. Ah, oh, damn it. I fucked this up. All right. I made the wrong decision. Rob and Josh, we'll be right back.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers, and as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Sunday, April 25th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
So anyone get their periods recently?
He didn't have a website that you could buy product from anyway, so what difference does it make?
It doesn't,
he calls up whatever the hell he
of
wants.
Of course. His business was ruined.
Yeah, right.
Guess how many times they put it in the bin?
Zero. Twice.
Zero.
And Larry says, damn, shots fired at you by your brother just now. What a dick. Okay? Put it in the bin. Put it in the bin.
Fine, because Rob Mayer speaks very nicely of you. I saw him last night. I did a show
He's
with him.
He's the one who called me a loser.
JL Hates Kids in chat said, Jordan Peterson says you shouldn't lie, right, Joe? I swear. When I got caught in that lie, I remembered other lies I had told that week.
Yeah. I'm like, is this your girl? He goes, yeah, puts on. And I go, who's your celebrity crush? Morgan Freeman?
Usually, you know, they get what's called their comeuppance.
I hope that they didn't put that warm bottle of maple syrup in his to-go order.
I hope the guy who packed it up put his dick on top of that.
There you go. Yeah. I hope somebody bought his website. I did this Zoom show for Dr. Phil.
Huh?
Now you weigh 300 pounds, but you look like Mark
Brock
Gastineau.
Lesnar.
Hey, Mark Gastineau.
No. Jesus. Mark Gastineau.
Is that where I went? I have more of a dick streak to me, so you might have more people that like you than me.
Yeah, but that also is one of your better qualities.
It is. It's my best quality. It's my best quality.
I need help on what to do in the morning to get me off to a better day.
Have you thought of this intuitive eating?
I have. I should just eat in bed. Have you stopped the intermittent fasting?
Of course I've stopped it.
What do I care if kids are being abused? Fuck them.
Katie is not making that much noise, but Joe probably is. What? Joe, does the NFL season seem as long as this segment? Mac makes me hate chat. I quit the Gramps and Mac dating chat room. And why does Mac spend an hour bad-mouthing Joe nonstop? Hell yeah. All right.
Then he decides they're going to renew their vows in New York City. He hires Tracy Morgan to be the wedding planner, which is
this
hilarity.
Sounds like shit. Yeah. I'm currently watching Sons of Anarchy, and I know we've been doing this where I'm reviewing movies, shows that are 10 years old.
Yes.
Matt Colby says, I'm trying to imagine Joe not being able to tell the world he was actually right. I'm surprised his head didn't explode. And now I've just come out as a Biden supporter on this show. So
I told her that Dax Shepard's first name is Daxter. It's the full name, right?
Right. From the chat. Joe, can you review Night Court? Ariel says, Joe, have you watched Behind Her Eyes on Netflix? And then she said, or should I ask in a few years? So she made a recommendation, but she's also a dig, which I accept. Frank said, hey, don't talk to me like I'm one of your board members. So they're having this. It's live. Okay. Max says in chat, the fact he throws $2 in the trash can is not the reason he's a jerk.
Look, the more people want me to go to do something, the less likely. The more I want to do it.
What are you, a child?
Joe's just an idiot.
I see. Frank, I go, don't talk to me like I'm one of your board members. I say, I keep saying, that's the line now. So feel free to use that. Maybe that's the name of the show.
Do you have it on your phone, Joe? Can you play a little?
No, I can't. I've been asked not to do that. I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about what I'm talking about now.
Too late.
Five Plated Strip Club was the name suggested for the strip club.
I like My Father Dropped Me Off.
.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't think that we'd be missing Robbie this much.
Awesome job, man.
Of course, you had that last line in there. Perfect, Robbie.
Yeah. No, if there's anything that Robbie... Yeah, even in the show open, there's Robbie Robinson doesn't get enough credit or whatever. Yeah, that's in there too. But real quick, first of all, I heard you guys talk about Ariel was mentioned in that. She couldn't get the audio to work. She dropped off. I saw her in there earlier. But anyway, she's not in there now. No big deal. She'll listen. She'll hear her name now as she's listening back. All right, that's what'll happen.
Wow, we love you, Ariel.
But from Chad, here we go. Benchwarmer says, or you can just be normal and want to go on a fun trip and not dread it. That's kind of, that's true.
Well, I don't remember ever saying I dreaded anything.
And then Max says, a weekend of listening to Joe complaining, who wouldn't want to go? And the dramatic traveler who was just in Robbie's montage defending me said, Mac, you complain about Joe more than Joe complains about anything. Nice. So I love Dramatic Traveler, and I want him to be a regular, or her.
She.
To be a regular fixture, for sure. All right, so Mac's going to love this story, for sure, because I am the foil. But this weekend, I went to an engagement party for a wedding that my wife is going to be in.
Okay.
Now, a couple things. First of all, you know, I am going to most likely be the officiant in her cousin's wedding.
All right.
Which is in Ocean City.
Who?
I don't know that you know her, Lauren.
Don't think so.
You know Uncle Pat? Remember who married us?
Yes.
It's his daughter who couldn't make it to our wedding. And her fiance, Justin. I love those guys. They're awesome.
I know Jamie and Lindsay, right?
Yep. You know them, okay. Yeah. But anyway, so what's cool about this is the wedding's in Ocean City, Maryland.
Wow.
And
your favorite place in
the
world.
Let me tell you something, man. When I heard the wedding was going to be in Ocean City, I said, fuck yes. That is going to be fucking awesome, okay? So I'm very excited. But I'm also, I don't know if it's for sure, but I believe I'm on the short list of candidates to officiate this wedding also for the engagement party we went to. And this is another friend of hers.
Family or just friend?
It's another friend, another group of friends. You know Santana, of course. It's in that friend group.
Gotcha.
And they asked me, my name gets thrown about. And of course, I'd be more than happy to do it, right?
You're the oldest guy they know. It's not family.
Right. I've been around a long time that I should. But anyway, Santana's like, oh, yeah, I heard you might be the officiant. I go, well, I will if they want me to be. I'm not lobbying for it. I'll do whatever. They go, yeah. They go, I can't remember if it's the bride's mother or the groom's mother. They go, they think that you're not, they're worried you might not take it seriously. And I go, well, do they want me to take it? Like, why do you have me if you're, okay. I go, but if you want me to be serious, I will.
We didn't even cast you in our wedding murder mystery.
Right, right. I go, yeah, no, I'll be more than happy to officiate it. But, you know, they go, well, they're afraid you're not going to take it seriously enough. And they're super religious. I go, well, then they should. I go, well,
Why are they picking you?
Yeah, I go, what? They go, yeah, they're Catholic. I go, well, I can't do a mass, right? Like, what are you talking about, right? Like, I can treat it seriously if that's what they want me to do, or I can treat it funny if that's what they'd like for me to do.
By the way, treating it funny, you're still going to treat it seriously. Of course, you're gonna have some levity.
Of course, I'll make a couple jokes about my own marriage and things that I know about them. Yes, I'll make it enjoyable, but
yes.
I'll marry them. I'll do the
pie plate closing.
Right, I'm not going to do a set. I'll do a real wedding. Right, I'll marry them, and after it's over, they'll be married. I'll get my license or whatever from the church or whatever, the Great Redeemer or whatever you can get online, and then I'll sign whatever I have to sign. But I was a little stressed. I'm like, well, no, if they wanted to be religious, they shouldn't even have a conversation about me. I'm not a minister.
No, that you shouldn't be asked to do that.
But if they want me to be serious, I will do that.
Yeah, you can.
If they want me to be funny, I will do that too. But I can't have a religious wedding. But anyway, that's not the story. So we're on our way. The wedding is at a brewery.
The engagement party.
What'd I say? Yeah, the engagement party. It's at this cool place where I don't think it's a brewery, but they sell beer there, and you know, there's fields and people out there playing cornhole and you know, and
like
kicking soccer balls around and playing bocce ball. Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. And we're there, and of course before I get out, I'm not gonna drink. So I do what I normally do before I go to something like that, and I do that in the car.
Masturbate.
And so now I'm talking. I get chatty, obviously, right? But I also like to endear myself to people. I want to be loved. So the first thing I do is I gravitate to the guy who ends up being the best man, and I make him fall in love with me, and then I'm talking to him, his wife, and I'm being hilarious, and I'm telling hilarious stories.
I make him fall in love with
me. And we're having a great time. I'm complimenting on him on his beard. Then I see another guy who looks even more ridiculous than him, and I go, you just dropped to number two. Look at that guy in the Michael Jordan jersey with the blonde hair and all the. And I'm really, really, I'm kind of feeling myself, right?
You're in the zone.
Well, anyway, up comes the guy I'm talking to that falls in love with me, and then this other guy. Now, these two guys are both friends of the groom. The one guy that now is my friend, he knows this guy, but they only know him through the friend. They're acquaintances, right?
But so, and Katie's relationship is with the bride, mainly.
With the bride, right. But the guy I know real well, the groom, and like we're kind of two guys that kind of get stuck with each other, and we love each other too.
Yes.
So we really enjoy each other's company. But I'm just trying to be somebody that go, oh, I like that guy. That's who I'm trying to be, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so the guy, not the guy who I'm trying to make fall in love with me, but this new guy. Now I'm going to make this guy fall in love.
All right.
With me.
So you're feeling you're on a roll here.
This is
a brand new person to you.
Brand new person. He's standing there with his girlfriend.
Uh huh.
Okay.
These are people in their in like a 30-ish, late
that
20s.
Sounds
like,
yeah,
28
yeah, that's,
to 32.
That's a, yeah. yeah, that's a good, yeah,
okay.
Probably late 20s.
All right.
And I say to the guy, I go, okay, well, how'd you guys meet? And they go, actually, we used to work at Target together. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. And what happened? He goes, well, I was training at her store. And I go, oh, and then what do you see her in the greeting card aisle? He goes, yeah. And I go, oh, I bet you thought she's beautiful. You got her phone number, right? So I'm asking questions, but also things that people enjoy talking about themselves and then this romance, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, and then what happened? He goes, well, then you started texting her and then you went on a first date. Where'd you go? They go, we went to the zoo. I go, oh, that's great, man. The only thing that sucks is everything feels like it's uphill, but, you know, the blah, blah, blah. So I'm asking questions, and they go, now, then what happened on the second date? He's like, well, sorry, man. We really don't like to talk about it. Our relationship got a little weird or whatever. And they're both there, and apparently I stumbled on something horrible, okay? And as soon as I did that, it got fucking real weird. Okay.
You were not in a place to get out of it.
I was like, okay, well, no big deal. And then I just started trying to talk about something else, but it was too late. I had literally flipped over some horrible memory that they had been trying to repress.
Before you continue, did you find out what that was?
Well, maybe.
I wanted to guess.
Maybe. But we'll get there.
Okay.
So anyway, so I felt horrible, but then what can, am I the villain? And then they go, hey, all right, well, we're going to go get something to drink. See you. And they left. Like, that was like,
they,
fuck this.
They
we're not.
Left the, you were out within or left the,
within,
party?
Within, no, they didn't leave the party, okay. But within 30 seconds of that conversation, they're gone. Now, meanwhile, I was working hard for them to like me.
See, that's on them. They could have just...
And it was working. You see what I'm saying?
But I think because you were being so specific with your questions, they felt like they couldn't get away with a lie. They could have just said, we went to Cheesecake Factory. Or,
right.
That's my favorite
and
restaurant.
By the way,
apparently.
I don't think... Yeah. I don't know that I can reveal anymore because then they're going to want to know how I know these things. So maybe
so
this,
you found out through someone else.
I did. What may have been the case.
Okay, okay. Can I guess? And then you say... Is it worse well, than that or not
yeah,
as bad?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can do that, but I can't really reveal. And by the way,
I just want to get a vibe
let me just
of
say
what
this.
The realm of issues.
Because I
was.
Said, oh, God, I fucked up, and I told that story. Mm-hmm. And then somebody, I guess, who was kind of a near knew them said, oh, it may have been this. So I don't know, but I, yeah, okay, go ahead, take a guess.
All right, they go on a second date, and they're driving, and they run over a dog and kill it.
No, that'd be nothing, right?
Okay, so it's worse than that.
Of course it's worse than that, yeah.
Okay. Somebody stands up the other person, and they're back with an ex or something.
It was something like that,
okay.
You know, where maybe he was still enjoying the fruits of other, whatever else may have been available.
Gotcha.
And then they kind of straightened themselves out, and they got together. So
well,
I believe that's
they
what
they should, from now on, their first date should be the first date after that incident.
Maybe.
That's
I mean,
what they should tell from now on.
Because
then you just get that out of, that's never going to come up.
Probably right, but the problem is that I was dissecting
you're
it.
You're a detective over
yes,
here. You're being like Gramp, just asking
but
question
you listen,
after question.
You know, honestly, as I'm not trying to blame you, but that thing that I just did, I got that from you. That's something you do.
Where you
try to
interview
take interest
them.
In other people and
oh,
then you
yes.
start fighting. Yeah. So I don't know that I probably just because we spend so much time together, maybe
yeah.
we just start doing the same things. But
yeah.
I know I remember you
no,
saying.
No, that's definitely something.
Yeah. And I remember yeah. you saying one time, he's like, well, like when somebody meets Tawanda for the first time, I say, oh, tell that story so she can shine
yes.
or whatever.
Right.
So what I do is I try to find this place where they can go, where they're going to say, wow, that made me feel good
yes.
to remember that, and he's the reason, and he drew that out of us, not necessarily consciously. So I want the people there to like me. It's I'm not manipulating. I'm trying to be just somebody that people whose company they enjoy. But instead, I pulled out this memory that they did not want pulled out. So anyway, it was awkward. But here's the thing. That guy's in the is in the wedding.
That you're going to be a possibly.
So he'll
a fish.
Be three people away.
Yes.
But luckily, the groom loves me, and so does the next guy, the best man.
Are you going to mention, hey, the first year of marriage is great? It's that second year, kind of like a second date.
Never go to the zoo. If I could give you any advice,
all
don't
right.
do it.
I don't. I that's there. That's on them. I think.
You think?
Yeah, I want to clean up some stuff from. Hey, JL commented on the Patreon. Donald Trump Black Version. It's a song by The Time that we played.
Yes.
We also named the episode. JL was particularly thought that was hilarious. He refers to himself now as Donald Trump Half Black Version. Touche. And our dear friend Taylor Jenkins, who you took a year and a half to get his shirt to, his wife.
I did get it, though. I got
yes.
it. Yes.
You talked about how you want to bang Zac Efron. Maybe I'm paraphrasing, but.
I like him.
He says that here's a show that he and his wife watched, Down to Earth, where it. Because you're talking about him being a good actor, where he's apparently a bearded, totally stoned in every scene and ridiculously likable the entire time. So check out Down to Earth.
All right, Down to Earth.
It sounds like a new show. Do you watch new shows?
I know. I'll watch it in 4 years, and then I'll talk about it on this show. No, actually, I watched some like documentary-style show with him. That sounds different than what I watch.
Right?
So
okay.
Down to Earth, I will 100% watch. I do like Zac Efron. You know, I didn't mention last time that I saw him and I loved Hairspray. I thought he was fucking awesome in Hairspray.
He is great in that movie.
You know who's horrible in Hairspray is John Travolta, but that's not a conversation
yeah.
I want to have because that movie's, what, 10 years old or whatever. But, hey, let's take a break. And on the other side, I know Robbie has a story, but I one other thing that hilariously happened to me this weekend I also want to mention. So we'll take a break. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the Rob and Joe Show.
Rob's long-awaited Dry Bar Comedy Special is finally here. It's available for free on the Dry Bar Comedy app. The reviews are in. Gramps says, "Stop telling jokes about my girlfriend." Mac Bergson said, "I wish Robbie produced it." Joe Robinson said, "It's the pie plate closer of comedy specials. So download the Dry Bar Comedy app and watch Rob's special."
All we watch is HGTV and then the Murder Channel. It's just Property Brothers, Menendez Brothers, just nonstop. She just she wants us to buy a house, renovate it, flip it, buy a new house, and in that new house, murder me. That's her whole 10-year plan. So
never estimate the laughs.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So one other, just a little thing that was hilarious. You know, we talk about my friend Erica on here a lot, and she's awesome. But her mother is, she's a piece of work is the best thing I can say. I will say that she loves to go at it, okay? And she loves to party.
Yeah.
She probably loves to argue too. Yeah. By the way, she's strong because I was sitting in a chair and she lifted the chair up. And I'm like, God, I hope she never gets mad at me, right? But anyway.
Well, you were in the chair when she lifted it?
I was sitting in the chair, yes. Do you think you could lift a chair that I was in?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I doubt I could lift a chair that you're in. But anyway, we were talking about her daughter who was literally sitting like 5 feet away. And there was a story that her daughter told, and it was very like kind of a fantastical story. And her mother said something about that not being true. I go, no. That's one thing about her. Even if it happens at her expense, she will tell. This is Erica, my friend Erica, will tell the truth. And I said, you know what? You can tell much about a man's character by how much truth he can tolerate. I go, that's Nietzsche. Okay.
Right.
She goes, oh my God, you know Nietzsche? I go, who? She goes, Nietzsche, you know Nietzsche? She has a friend named Nietzsche, okay? She thought I was quoting her. Okay? Now listen, after she goes, you know Nietzsche, her friend who's with her, her name is, I think her name's Aunt Michelle. That's what Erica calls her. She goes, oh my God, you know Nietzsche? God, I'd love to know Nietzsche. If they're crediting the quotes of the great Friedrich Nietzsche to Nietzsche.
Is You Know Michi a better episode title?
You with a question, you know Michi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robbie?
I don't know Michi. But now I want to meet her.
I'm spelling it M-E-E-C-H-I-E. How do you think it's spelled?
I did. I spelled it M-E-E-C-H-I, Michi. But
you
I don't.
Done it with a Y, of course.
Yeah.
Two E's, C-H, and you're saying Y?
Yeah, I don't know, but I
two E's.
Michi.
I would have spelled it me, M-E-E. Maybe it's M-E-E-C-H-E-E. Michi. Michi. Michi.
How do you spell Michi?
The great philosophers. Oh, Nietzsche's all fucked up, man. Yeah. It's
way,
spelled
next week, Michi's going to be in chat.
Yeah, all Nietzsche right. is spelled N-I-E-T-Z-S-C-H-E. Well,
Google Michi and just see what comes up. How many people name
Google?
Michi?
Well, you have to spell Michi
well,
to Google
just
it.
Just Google famous people named Michi.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
It's got to be somebody.
Michi. Here we go. Hey, look. Here's Michi Harris, M-E-C-H-I-E. Mm. Michi so crazy. That's what she is on Instagram.
No, I don't like that one. Well, I'll do some research on Michi's.
Oh, this is a dude, though.
We can't
this
have Michi. That, then. This is a girl. Do we know that Michi was a guy or girl?
I just assumed. I don't know.
Guys don't have good advice. So.
No, I need to find out. But anyway, yeah.
Robbie, I know something happened in your world this week.
Well, I have been, I won't bore you with it, but I have, with this part, I've just been having a really heck of a time this spring finding somebody to clean my gutters.
Oh, sorry you're going through that.
But I've gone through like 5 people, and some people flaked on me, et cetera, et cetera.
How do you go through 5? Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, I had some people, a guy was really professional. He never sent me the quote. I got people who used to do it for me who don't do it anymore.
Did you call Michi?
I did not call Michi.
One guy didn't like your DoorDash Ben. Yeah.
Well, my girlfriend suggested I go on Nextdoor. That's where I troll.
Okay.
Right.
Website. Yes. But I did find a wealth of names.
You don't want them to know who they are. Somebody will go incognito and try to kill you when you go on there.
Yeah, I didn't communicate with them via Nextdoor. I just called them. Anyway, so I see this one guy's name. He's highly recommended. Now, what would...
Hold
what?
On, Robbie. Wait a minute. How can a guy who cleans gutters come highly recommended? Well,
several people.
He gets all the leaves out. Nobody gets the leaves out like Michi.
It's a website where people comment. They talk. So there was many people who said, oh, yeah, that guy's great. I've used him before. So I'm literally getting ready to get in the shower to go over to see my girlfriend. And he says, can you come outside? Because he was going to come by to evaluate. But I'm like, I didn't figure I need to be out there for him to look at it. What is the last thing you would think you would see for a guy who's coming by to talk about cleaning your gutters? The last thing you'd see. This person. What kind of person would show up?
A little person?
A little person.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good guess, but try again. You're close.
No arms.
You're almost there.
No legs? No.
He's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
Well, I want to do is get back in the house and get finished getting ready to go see my girlfriend. And he's like, well.
And you're inconvenienced by this handicapped guy that you called over.
Comes highly recommended. Everyone's just playing a joke. Hey. Oh, my God, he's so amazing.
You believed it. He can't even. Oh, your gutter's 5 feet off the ground.
Every leaf out.
Well, I mean, he couldn't evaluate. He's going into my neighbor's driveway like, hey, wait a second, to try to see the back. He can't get to the back to look at the gutters.
Did you drive over to his house to get your keys back?
Oh, my God. He said, can you swing open the gate for me so I can get a look? I'm like, okay. So he's driving on the grass. He gets stuck.
It's a motorized wheelchair?
Yes.
He doesn't have a motorized
Robbie,
ladder?
Did you ask him, hey, I'm trying to understand how you're able to do this, given your limitations.
Yes.
He did mention he has people, but that wasn't the issue. He literally couldn't tell me what he could do or what he couldn't do. I need a downspout reattached. He's like, well, if we can do it, we won't charge you extra. I'm like, what's this if? Just I wanted to say you need somebody who can go back and look at it.
Did he tip his wheelchair over?
This guy has the greatest gig ever because he shows up by himself. Most people are just going to say, yeah, I'll hire you because they don't want to say no.
He doesn't know Robbie.
Right. And then he'll bring out the people that can walk, and they'll show up, and they'll fix it. I think it's a great business model.
Well, maybe. I mean, I certainly was sympathetic, but at that point in time, if he had 2 feet to walk on, he could have just done the whole thing himself and just walked back there and give me a price.
His slogan should be never estimate.
Yes. So, Robbie, sense. The guy came out and he couldn't provide you any information and then he left?
He said...
He charged you $100.
Yeah, he was very expensive compared to other people. I said,
well, I'm the best. Didn't you see my recommendations?
I need the gutter to be reattached when this job is done. I need to know if that can be done or not be done. I mean, I just said it. I didn't say it quite like that, but I said, you know, I just need that evaluated. I don't want to hire somebody who can't do that for me. So,
and he said?
And he said, okay, I understand. But
people? Is that what he said?
Before we even got to that point, he gets stuck. And then I'm like, do you need some help? And he's like, no, I get it. It's kind of heavy. I'll get it out of here. He finally manages, and again, I'm standing the whole time. All I want to do is go. He finally manages to get out of, to turn around and get out of there. Then he blows a fuse in the wheelchair.
You didn't have any fuses on you, Handy? You didn't have any wheelchair fuses on you?
He did.
All he had was a Mountain Dew live wire. That doesn't
he
help.
Did, but it felt like it took him, because like the guy's fucked up, okay?
Is he a large man as well?
No, he was not a big man, it felt like it took him an hour to get that new fuse in there so he could get around to the other side.
Well, now you know he's highly recommended because who's going to give him a... You're not going to badmouth him now.
Well,
oh, they're known Robbie. Yes. Robbie, did you give him a poor recommendation now?
I would not. But I just wish, you know, have somebody with legs who can push you around. go to the back and look at the goddamn gutter.
Is the guy doing your gutters or not, Robbie?
No, I'm not hiring him.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You made him come all the way out there, get stuck in your backyard, which I'm sure was
what a
muddy.
Dick.
Yeah.
You're prejudiced against people without legs.
By the way, let's be honest. How hard is it? If he says he can do it, I'm sure he can clean out your fucking gutters.
Yeah, Robbie, come on.
Well, I have a very, The problem is I have two tiers of gutters. I live in a Cape Cod, so I have two tiers of gutters. And the
they've
first
never
room,
seen that before. Yeah.
Oh, my God, what is this?
A Cape Cod?
This is a blue-eyed tail cicada?
Oddly enough, there's some people who won't do it because the first roof, you have to actually get on the first
Well,
roof
this guy will because he's the best.
Exactly. Five stars, Robbie. Yeah.
It's like a 45-degree angle. That's why I don't want to do it. I don't want to get up on that roof. It's steep.
Maybe but, that's. Do you think that's how he became handicapped? He was working on a Cape Cod.
Yeah. Well, haven't always been great.
possibly, but it's funny you ask if I tipped him over because that was my worst fear that he was gonna tip over in the yard and I'm gonna have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's your worst fear. I think his worst fear is having to work with you.
Yes, his worst fear is going over there, not getting hired, and blowing a fuse and getting stuck in your yard, and you're going, "Sorry, you're not all you were promised to be."
Well, a lot of people just texted me quotes. They didn't even come by and look at the house. I sent them pictures.
He does the extra mile. You know, Tawana went on a date with a guy that was in a wheelchair that didn't mention that on his dating profile.
Oh, really?
I think
he got
about
in a motorcycle
that.
Accident and hadn't. Then he showed up in one of those big vans. She was like, "What's happening?"
Yeah, I'll drive.
He had one of those big special equipped vans.
Exactly. He has to blow into it in order to drive. No, I mean,
that's a different affliction.
Yeah, true. I think about that. It's like if there was something more seriously wrong with me than just me being old or whatever, and heaven forbid Katie falls off a cliff and she's no longer with us, and I have to go back into the dating world, the first thing that I would do, God, this sounds so shallow, is I would make sure people knew that I had a little smoke to me, because if not, you just have to date somebody in your league. I'm not interested in that.
Oh, when Katie leaves you, you are fucked. You are spoiled.
Well, she's not leaving me, but let's be honest, I'm never going to get a chick as hot
as
Katie, no matter what happens to her, right?
It's just all downhill.
That's true. It 100%, if anything ever would ever happen to Katie, and God, let's pray that never, I mean, if Katie dies before me, something fucking horrible happens.
Yes.
Yeah. But
for you to get someone as attractive as Katie, it has to be a guy.
True. You're right about that. Yeah. I would never get another girl as hot as Katie. But I might be able to get a really good looking guy.
Maybe, yeah. Likes older men.
Yeah.
Who's just doesn't have any money.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, people are always like, what the hell's going on here? And I always say I have a really good personality. That's always the joke.
Right.
But then they automatically assume I'm rich, which I'm also not that either.
That's a Dr. Gill joke.
I live with my dad.
Hey, Jeremy, he's been on a, no songs recently, and I think I mentioned that, and he got inspired. I don't know if people know this, but he is now the co-host of the Chris Restivo Show. It's a podcast.
Oh, he's a regular?
Yeah.
I thought he was just the first guest.
Yeah, once you have him on, I think he just, you hire him. Have you seen his reviews on Next Door?
Yeah, and I think what you're leading up to is Jeremy, is this a theme song for the Chris Restivo Show?
Yeah, and this is a guy that's written successful theme songs. The Purple Power Hour was played, 17 weeks on 98 Rock.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
18 maybe? Was it 16 games, two playoffs? 18 weeks.
Whatever we did, we played it every time. And right. If heaven forbid, if God smiles on us, you know what I mean? Not forbid.
Sure.
We're doing it again. We'll play the same song.
Well, he's told us he's working on a second one. So
God,
we'll get to that.
Every time he tries to improve it, it's worse. But all right, but what we have here, and I guess we can close the show on this.
Yeah, I think it's a closer.
We have the new theme song. Is it called the Chris Restivo Show?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
That's the thing. That one of the things that bothers me about Jeremy is that he's so lazy that he won't title the file as descriptive. It was just says Restivo. Could be anything.
Isn't that enough for you?
Well, I gave it a title. I called it Restivo Show, and in parentheses, not gay.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it. This is the Restivo Show, not gay.
It's a Chris Restivo Show, and it's totally not gay.
Not gay.
Chris Restivo Show. Yes, he's totally not gay.
He's not gay.
And his co-host, Jeremy, he's totally not gay.
Not gay.
But sometimes he makes movies where he does really gay things, but he only does it for money. Yes, he's not gay though. He's all about the vajay.
Oh.
Nicely done.
Well done.
Loved it.
Check out the Chris Restivo Show, not gay. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.